other agricultural industries already have policy in place for the safe use of spraying certain pesticides and fungicides. This being a new industry, it hasn't been addressed yet.
And with more states turning marijuana into a legal commodity crop, it'll take a mix of policy, science, and industry self-regulation to figure out what's appropriate and what's not. For NPR News, I'm Luke Runyon in Fort Collins, Colorado.
And Luke's story comes to us from Harvest Public Media. You can hear their reporting right here on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at Stewart-Peterson.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Federal Reserve is expected to signal today that it's getting closer to raising interest rates for the first time in nearly a decade while leaving the timing of that increase uncertain. Many economists foresee the first rate increase in September. In recent weeks, key sectors of the economy, the job market, retail spending, home sales, have improved. The gains mark a reversal from the January-March quarter, when the economy is estimated to have shrunk in part because of a harsh winter. A bird flu outbreak in the Midwest that boosted prices for eggs and roasting turkeys has actually resulted in cheaper chicken in the U.S. At the end of April, 181 million pounds of chicken leg quarters were in cold storage. That's 80% higher than a year ago. May wholesale prices in the Northeast market for bulk leg quarters averaged 34 cents a pound. That's 32% lower than a year earlier. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 17,959. It's up 55 points. The NASDAQ 2102, up 6. And the S&P, the S&P 500 at 2102, up 6. And the NASDAQ's 5,072. It's up 17 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will be experiencing some significant rain, at least the lower parts of the Midwest, as we move forward through this next 5 days. The precipitation will be most significant as we move into the first part of the weekend, and that's all a part of the remnants of Tropical Cyclone Bill as it moves its way into the area. The storm system this morning is already downgraded to a depression over parts of eastern Texas. It will dissipate as a significant tropical weather event soon. The remnants of it, though, will continue to work its way northward into parts of eastern Oklahoma eventually, and then curving from there through southern Missouri into a part of the lower Midwest. The storm is expected to generate some impressive rainfall. It already has, actually. Doppler radar suggests some totals getting into the 3 to 6 inch range down near the central Texas coast, with some totals perhaps over 8 inches. We're waiting for some official rain totals to come in so that we can see that confirmed. But at least for right now, the Doppler estimates are certainly impressive in that area. 2 to 6 inch rains will occur northward from that part of Texas into north central and northeastern Texas, including some minor wheat producing areas. And then it goes up into Oklahoma in most areas from central Oklahoma eastward into the Green Mountain region. We'll see the greatest amounts of rain, and 2 to 6 and local 8 inch totals will take place across that region. Then the moisture starts to curve off to the northeast, pushing through southern Missouri, northwestern Arkansas as we get into late Thursday, more likely Friday, and eventually into the lower parts of the Midwest Friday into Saturday. And 1 to 3 inches of rain, some local totals over 4 inches, may occur as the remnants of that system push through the lower parts of the Midwest. Now, a considerable amount of the rain will be lost by the time it gets to the lower Midwest, so we won't see the amounts quite as hefty there as they will be certainly in Oklahoma. And some locations in the hill country of southern Missouri will also get some very heavy rain, some significant flooding to take place. But there's not much crop country that will be involved with that. So the majority of the crop areas that will be significantly impacted here will be primarily the Blacklands of Texas today, and then in the eastern portions of wheat country in parts of Oklahoma as we go through the night tonight and into early Friday. For the lower Midwest, some of the heavier rain will fall in the area that's been driest, including the Ohio River Valley. And so initially, the precipitation will be beneficial. If it does end up being several inches, obviously the situation go from good to bad in a relatively short period of time. A cool air mass dropping southward from Canada will bring on some additional precipitation immediately following the remnants of Tropical Cyclone Bill, and the Midwest will likely see 2/10 to 3/4 of an inch of rainfall with that event coming in late in the weekend and into the early part of next week. The precipitation that will then be followed by some badly needed drying, and most of the Midwest will see a period of improving conditions. Temperatures will be heating up across portions of the Midwest and the plains as we go into next week, and that will certainly help to accelerate drying rates. And a lot of this heavy rain associated with Bill, it will not be impacting some of those unharvested soybean acres in the western corn belt, and there'll be an opportunity for field work to advance around the precipitation. That's probably the most important part of the forecast here today. We do expect temperatures to be mostly in a seasonable range across a big part of the Midwest for a while. A lot of 70 and 80 degree highs expected as we go through the end of this work week and into the weekend. Next week, we'll see 80s and lower 90s becoming more common, maybe as early as Sunday in the lower parts of the Midwest, and then that heat will work its way a little further to the north as we go through the week next week, and we'll see many areas in the Midwest at least seeing temperatures near or slightly over 80 degrees. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter July wheat, 514 up 7.5. Soft July, 497.5 up 8.75. July corn, 357.75 up 3.75. September, 363.25 up 3.5. December, 373.25 up 3.25. July soybeans, 963.5, now 63 even up 5.5. September, 937.25 up 6.75. November, 935.25 up 7.75, now 7.5. July soybean meal, 320.80, now 90 up 10 cents. July soybean oil, 32.85, down 5. June live cattle, 151.50, down 55. August feeders, 223.77.5, down 107.5, and July lean hogs, 77.72.5, they're up 57.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Very impressive short covering rally in the soybean market on ideas of lower supplies on old crop, the crush margins being excellent, on new crop ideas that maybe acreages are shrinking as we are looking at prevented planting dates in key states. And we've now rallied up to a Fibonacci 33% retracement, and we're sitting right on top of a key number. So the market is going to be made. It needs to go a little higher.
Yeah, I think realistically what we've talked about in-house is maybe giving the market a little bit of breathing room. We've got 750,000 acres probably in Illinois and Indiana combined basically at 1.5 million acres that have not been planted yet, although we probably cannot quantify those numbers as far as prevent plant for quite some time. What we realistically can do is reduce our yield expectations. That 46, 47 bushel that the USDA has been touting about for the last couple of months is becoming a little bit more unrealistic. So if we dial back our yield expectations, that should give the market enough fuel to spark a little bit more additional short covering.
And I think probably commercials are picking up some of this too.
You know, I would think so. We haven't seen any new crop basis improvement to speak of, but I think realistically they're probably getting some coverage on paper. And what we've done is we've sponsored the idea of maybe covering some excess shorts or maybe some uncomfortable levels with the idea of maybe replacing those hedges at the 975 territory, maybe 980 sight unseen. We'd take that, and then we'll watch and see how the market evolves. Would point out that the November beans are supporting an outside week up on the charts, and like you said, we're back above the old support levels, so the upside is starting to open up, but we don't want to expect too much too soon.
corn seems to me is more coming along for the ride than have a story necessarily of its own, at least today.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we continue to point out is the old crop carryout is probably a little bit more burdensome. There's probably more corn in the countryside than we would like to see. Guys are starting to make some of those catch-up sales. Once they get done in the field, they're going to go ahead and move the old crop corn. That continues to probably put a lid on it. Here again, as far as yield expectations for new crop corn, we'd probably dial those back just a little bit. And our catch-up levels for the corn maybe run at 395 mark, and then revisit that periodically and adjust accordingly. But, you know, the upside is probably opening up just a little bit, but so far it's been more short covering than new buying.
With all the rain, is it too soon to talk about potential nitrogen leaching?
No, it is not too soon. I think that that's probably a really big consideration for nitrogen leaching, and I can tell you that my neighbors have struggled to get on gas. They have been trying to get into fields. The corn's getting to be knee-high and higher. The equipment necessary to apply nitrogen when it gets taller than this is not as adequate as we would like it to be, so we've probably lost some of the pre-applied nitrogen, and we're not getting the applications on like we would like now.
If the corn around the July, the early corn in July, around pollination, because so much was planted early, it's going to be a short pollination window for a lot of the nation's corn crop. If the pollination doesn't go particularly well, will producers sit on their old crop all the way into the fall?
They could, but I would say that's probably more an isolated example than a general answer.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, it's not an odds-on favorite to save for that little window of opportunity that sometimes develops late in the summer. I would probably continue to monitor the basics for grain marketing. Say, if my basis is good, I'm going to market it, and if I have a reason to re-own it, I will. But realistically, I'm going to reward the positive basis levels if I get them.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. You are listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.